Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
When I found out I was going to be a parent, I immediately felt a lot of anxiety and worry. So I went on to BetterHelp to try to look for a therapist to help me with that.
My relationship with my family and with my boyfriend and with myself were suffering. I really needed help.
I was ruminating a lot. Really getting those thoughts out to a therapist and getting feedback was just life-changing.
If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, visit BetterHelp.com/stuff today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stuff.
Hello, friends. Charles W. Chuck Bryan here on a Saturday. Well, it's really a Tuesday. Well, actually, it's a Thursday. But in your world, it's a Saturday. So let's just pretend it's Saturday. This episode, everybody, is about moss. Is moss boring? No, not at all. Moss is actually really cool. And if you listen to this episode from June 5th, 2012, you'll learn it for yourself. So check it out, everybody. How moss works.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, who now refuses to do the cheeks, everyone. So I can't vouch for how good the episodes will be from this point on.
Cheeks are done. I don't care about them anymore.
We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, if we started nosedive, you're doing the cheeks again.
Nope.
I will see to it that you do the cheeks.
Can't do it.
I will stand on your chest. Ben will grab one cheek. Jerry will grab the other, and the cheeks will be done.
That, for people that don't know what we're talking about, this sounds like really gross. So
everybody knows what we're talking about. Chuck does the little cheek pull to start off each episode. It's a little good luck charm, and now he's suddenly decided he's not going to do that anymore. So
I have a new good luck charm.
What is it?
It's called not doing cheeks.
It's not. It's a bad luck.
No. So, I've got a joke for you to open this one up.
Do you really?
And I made it up today.
It's a made-up joke?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to hear it.
What do you call a reproducing sphagnum?
What?
Randy Moss.
That's pretty good.
Not bad.
No. That's into the realm of pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good stuff.
I think if I was a tour guide at a nature, like Fernbank Science Center or something,
right?
That would be my go-to for the kids.
That'd be a good one.
To try and identify with them.
I don't think the kids would like it as much as maybe the teacher.
Yeah, that's true.
The teacher would be like, that's pretty funny. And by the way, those brown knee-high socks you're wearing are great.
Right.
Well, I'm going to give an intro in addition to the joke.
Sure.
The intro joke. Maybe that should be your new good luck thing. You tell
intro jokes.
You make a joke. Make up a joke for every...
That would be Welcome Back, Cotter.
They have a joke for everyone?
Yeah, he introed every show by... Or maybe it was outroed by telling a joke to his wife.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I hadn't picked up on that. I only saw maybe two episodes of that show.
Well, then you heard two jokes.
Yeah.
Plus all the other jokes.
Was his wife one and the same with... Bailey from WKRP? Didn't they look alike? Were they the same person?
I don't know if they were the same person, but they definitely seemed the same.
Gotcha. Like, and they both wore glasses that had the feathered hair.
Yeah, sort of long feathered haired 70s ladies.
Yeah.
I don't think they were the same, though.
Yeah.
But they were both probably in the Love Boat.
Yes.
Yes.
Within 5 years as a way to revitalize their career.
That's right.
Chuck, I was going to talk about the Ice Age. The beginning of the ice age, or of ice ages, glacial periods. Remember, right now we're in the midst of an interglacial period.
Right.
I want you to think back, way back, 470 million years ago.
Okay.
There was no such thing as a glacial period, and by proxy, there was no such thing as an interglacial period. All we had was one hot, soupy, barren mess of land and ocean, and that was it.
That's right.
This is what's called the Ordovician period, or Ordovician period, depending on where you come from.
Okay.
The beginning of this period is characterized by ice ages. And paleogeologists, I guess you could just call them geologists, really, because nobody's studying like present stuff very much. It's mostly paleogeology, right?
Sure.
They were like, where did this ice age come from? When did this start? And they figured out that what triggered this was the arrival of the very first basic land plants, e.g. mosses.
That's right.
And they recently figured out that mosses came about 470 million years ago, and they triggered these ice ages by latching onto rocks. So these were a certain type of moss, as you and I know, called granite mosses.
Yep.
And they would actually leach materials from these rocks to use as nutrients and minerals, right? These are like Wheaties for moss, early moss. Well, the moss started releasing stuff, sucking in carbon dioxide from the atmosphere enough to reduce the global temperature, mean temperature, by 8 degrees centigrade.
Wow.
Which led to the beginning of ice ages and the ice age periods that we know and love. You can thank moss for that.
Yeah, thank you, moss.
You go outside, you find a little bit of moss, you grab a little piece of it gently, and then shake its hand.
Shake its little...
Say thanks for the ice ages.
Little baby stem.
Yeah.
Well, we needed ice ages.
Yeah, that remains to be seen.
No, it's all part of the big soup.
We've had some...
Who am I to doubt it?
We've had some chilly, windy weather lately, and it has been getting to me. Like, it's been... Like, just seeing the trees, like, getting whipped outside makes me feel chilly, and then in turn, I feel socially isolated and mad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really windy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So, we're talking about moss. This is no joke. April is over by now. We're in it right now, but by the time this comes out, this is no April Fool's joke. We're talking about moss and how it works.
Yeah.
Because it's part of our long parade of explaining absolutely everything in the known universe.
That's right. And moss is...
Moss is part of that.
It's part of that.
So let's talk about moss, Chuck.
Well, moss is pretty fun and unique in some ways, if you ask me.
Yeah.
Because unlike most flowering plants and trees, or let me go ahead and say it, all flowering plants...
Mm-hmm.
In trees.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have roots like traditional root systems.
Moss doesn't.
No.
Mosses don't.
They do not. They don't germinate from seeds. Pretty weird.
No.
And they don't gush water around through internal systems, internal
root
vessels.
Root systems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
It is, especially if you're familiar with plants. Then you're like, well, then moss is strange.
Exactly.
For somebody, you know, an average bystander like me, I'm like, oh, okay, well, moss doesn't do that and plants do. It doesn't seem particularly weird to me.
Oh, I think it's unique.
But I do find it intriguing. It makes me want to know more about moss.
Well, you got about 15,000 species if you want to talk about moss.
Right.
Traditionally, you were probably going to think of moss as the true moss. Well, let's back up a little bit.
Okay.
They're related to liverwort and hornwort.
Yeah. I've seen, I saw other articles on moss, and everybody points that out for some reason. I'm not sure if they're like, I got to put 10 things in about moss, and
that's one
I got nine, so let's put that
right.
in.
Yeah. They are in the phylum Bryophyta.
Yeah.
And they're in three groups. You got the granite mosses, the peat mosses, and true mosses. True mosses are probably what we're going to think of when you think of the little green carpety like padding that you see everywhere.
Like a fallen tree in a forest or something.
Yeah.
That's
and there's
a true moss.
Tons of true moss, like 14,000 species.
Yeah.
Granite mosses are blackish, small, grow in Arctic regions in the mountains.
Yeah. Grow on rocks. They're the most ancient moss, apparently.
That's right. And there are only about 100 species of that. And then the final subgroup is the peat moss.
Mm-hmm.
Grows in bogs. If you ever been in a bog, then you've probably seen some peat moss or sphagnum moss.
Right. And that's the money moss because you can burn it and convert it to electricity and charge money for it. That's why sphagnum is the money moss.
And oddly, well, not oddly, but remarkably, moss, the sphagnum moss, you use as a soil conditioner. We do that in our garden.
Right.
Because some of it can hold 20 times its dry weight in water.
It's pretty amazing.
That's very amazing.
That's some strong moss.
You're going to find moss all over the place, including places where you won't find any other living plants, like the bottom of an Arctic or Antarctic lake.
That is pretty impressive.
Like the only multicellular plant growing down there is moss.
Right.
And it grows really slow. I think as little as 1 centimeter per year, this aquatic moss at the bottom of these frozen lakes.
Uh-huh.
And that is the slowest growing and longest living freshwater plant ever recorded.
I would guess so. It's kind of like putting somebody on ice, right?
Yeah, sure.
You're slowing down the cellular processes,
but they're
still active. So you could, by in theory, extend their lifespan, right?
That's right.
Same thing with moss.
Yeah.
It's probably even easier with moss.
Yeah. And by that same token, the zombie moss I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You could dry some mosses out for 19 years without water. And if you add water to it, it'll, you know, resuscitate itself.
It'll turn into a big dinosaur. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, though. If they can go dormant for that long,
yeah,
it's amazing.
And all mosses can go dormant. It's like one of their defense mechanisms. They'll just turn brown and dry out.
Yeah.
And they're in
Wait
a dormant
moisture.
State. Unfortunately, you can't really tell, like, what the difference is between dead and dormant until you add water and see if it comes back.
Right.
That's the only way to determine the length of a moss's dormancy.
Oh, so if you add water and it just stays dead, then...
It was dead.
Oh, that's sad.
So you said there's like 15,000 species, and they kind of range in size and shape and texture, right?
Sure.
Color. Some of the, I think the peat mosses grow different colors, like rose.
Yeah, very pretty.
Yeah, some grow black, like the granite moss you said.
Yeah.
Some are silver, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And then there's the smallest moss is the ephemerum, which is a half a millimeter tall.
That's crazy.
It's adult size.
Yeah.
And then there's the Dawsonia, which is up to almost 30 inches, 70 centimeters in height, which that's a pretty wide variety.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing? It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today. Hey, everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva Presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva Presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva Presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva Presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva Presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Okay, so moss is fairly interesting so far. Okay. Let's talk about the individual plants, because when you look at moss and you think about moss, you're thinking of a carpet of plants.
Yeah.
Right? Those are actually like a bunch of little plants put together, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. That's one way to think of it.
So when you're talking about moss, when you're talking about the individual parts or the individual plants, they're pretty simple.
Yeah.
They're pretty basic. You have something called the gametophyte, which is the stem and the leaves, right?
That's right.
The leaves are generally arranged in a spiral pattern, and the leaves are usually a lance-shaped with like a point, right?
Yeah. That's where you're going to find your reproductive parts.
Right. At the bottom, there's rhizoids instead of roots. Remember,
yeah,
these are not roots. And so they don't anchor themselves to anything necessarily. They anchor themselves to like maybe organic material or something, but it's not into the dirt.
Right.
And they also don't suck up water in the same way that roots do, but they do use rhizoids. A lot of it's kind of academic, the differences, really.
Between?
Rhizoids and roots.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion.
Sure.
I'm going to get some mail about that, but I think that they're very similar.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the fact that it can grow on a rock kind of instead of soil kind of says it all.
Excellent.
Okay. So in the gametophyte, you're going to have, like I said, your reproductive parts, both male and female. And then we'll mention this because it comes around later on when we talk about the reproduction. Emerging from the top of the female gametophyte is the sporophyte and a thin stalk called a seta. And a little brown ball on top of that, known as the capsule.
Right.
And then on top of that is the operculum, and it's like a little hat that the capsule wears.
Right.
And that comes into play. Well, let's talk about how it gets nutrients, then we'll talk about the dirty stuff.
The Randy Moss?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a pretty funny joke.
No, it was silly.
Okay, so a moss needs a few things to live. And one of those is water.
Of course. It's
possibly one of the most important ingredients because it aids in not just photosynthesis.
Sure.
But also in reproduction, which we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
Boy, we've really built up this sexy moss thing. It's not as interesting as we're making it sound.
Yeah. There's no like riding crops involved or anything like that.
No. Well, but there are parts.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, so, and I was surprised by the number of parts. I didn't realize they were that involved. I thought it was like, here's a spore.
Yeah.
And go forth and reproduce.
True.
Anyway, with that water that moss needs,
yeah,
because mosses need, like, pretty much across the board, one of their great characteristics is a moist environment, right?
Yeah.
And they need this water, or they get this water, since they lack roots in a number of different ways. Some have very absorbent leaf surfaces where you can pour a drop of water on a leaf and it goes, it's just gone. It's a pretty amazing thing to watch.
Yeah, spongy.
Sure. And then another way is the rhizoids, which although they aren't roots, still manage to suck up water. And they do this through capillary action in the same way that like a paper towel, if you put a drop of a drop of water on your kitchen counter. Ask your mom first before doing this, because some moms will freak out on you if you do something like this.
Right.
Put a drop of water on your kitchen counter, and take a single thing of paper towel, mm-hmm. set it next to it, just barely touching, mm-hmm. and the paper towel go,
suck it up.
It's amazing. That's capillary action, and it's the result of the adhesion, in this case, let's say with rhizomes, the adhesion of a water molecule to the rhizome.
Rhizoid, yeah.
Rhizoid is greater than the cohesion between that water molecule and all the other water molecules it's part of.
Yeah. It's a quicker picker-upper.
Nice.
So once you've got a little water in there, the water's going to be moved between cells or transported through cells, depending on the moss.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get your photosynthesis, which is, you know, part of being a plant.
Did you like this analogy? I didn't find it apt, necessarily.
I just ignored it.
Okay.
So at the end of photosynthesis, you're going to have sugar and oxygen as a byproduct, releases the oxygen like a good little plant.
Right.
And eats the sugar, basically.
Yeah, and says, give me more.
Yes.
So it converts the sugar into energy to break down minerals, say that it's leached from rocks or a tree stump or whatever it's attached to,
yeah.
to grow and to reproduce.
That's right.
I think we're at the sexy moss point.
Reproduction can occur in a couple of ways. And the first way is for the reproduction to begin, we're going to have to get a vase-shaped archegonia.
It's getting all like a George O'Keefe painting in here.
It is. And that's going to produce the eggs. It develops at the tip of the gametophyte, which we talked about.
Uh-huh.
And then on the male side, you've got the antheridia, and that produces the sperm.
Right.
And the sperm swims through, basically, fertilizes the eggs, which is why they need to be moist, like you said.
The sperm swims through nearby water.
To get to the egg. It's
right.
pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
It's almost like a fish.
Yeah, but it's a sperm.
That's right.
So it's more like a tadpole.
Yeah, I see what you mean. And then the egg is fertilized. You're going to get a sporophyte. We already talked about the sporophyte. That's the tall, thin stalk with a little operculum at the top. Operculum's going to open up at a certain point.
That's the hat.
Yeah. The tip of the hat happens, releases the spores, which are basically like seeds. And there you have it.
Well, yes. And then the spore goes and germinates like a seed. See, this is what I'm saying. Rhizoid, mm-hmm. root, spore, seed. I mean, I know that there's some differences here, but they're not that great. Anyway, the spore goes, lodges itself into a...
But it's different than every other plant.
No,
every
I'm,
other
I'm
millions
with you.
Of plants. Okay.
I understand. I get it. I know that there are differences. I'm just saying, like, the difference between the two is not like a wow kind of thing for me.
I get you.
I wish it was.
I understand.
I'm not fighting it. So the spore germinates into another plant,
yeah.
and the whole thing happens again.
That's
hopefully
right.
not with any plant that it's related to, though. That's gross.
So the other way it can reproduce is asexually, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And basically, if you've got enough moisture and a piece of moss breaks off and floats downstream or gets caught up in the wind and it roots down in a nice moist place, mm-hmm. it'll reproduce. It'll just start growing again.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
But it doesn't root. It rhizomes. Rhizomes.
Rhizoids.
What is the... I think I'm confusing riboflavin... with something else
yeah.
to get rhizomes. Okay, so we have healthy, sexually active moss everywhere, all over the place.
Yep.
We understand them. I mean it. We understand them now. Like, that's
sure.
moss right
oh, yeah.
there. Oh, we left out one interesting fact, I thought. Their leaves, the tiny little leaves,
yeah.
are so small, they're very rarely one cell thick.
Yeah, that's tiny.
Yeah, it's neat.
It is neat.
Okay, so now that we understand moss, if you have said, I like moss a lot, I've seen moss before, I want to bring more moss into my life,
mm-hmm.
I happen to have a yard, so I'm going to introduce moss to it. We now can say, yes, here's how you do it, because we understand moss, and here is how you do it.
Yeah, and I like the look of moss, like to
it's nice.
Go between plants, or like in Japanese gardens, moss yeah. is like...
Big.
Yeah, crazy big.
Yeah.
So, if you want to grow some moss, One thing you can do sometimes is just transplant it, like gently scrape it off that rock in a, you know, sort of like a big a chunk of like a carpet square as you can get, and just throw it on the ground and water it.
Water it.
And sometimes that'll
very
do
very important. It is, yeah.
And not always.
If you put it in the right kind of place, mosses require low sunlight.
Sure.
Basically shade.
In fact, if you have low sunlight and you have trouble growing grass, moss is a great alternative.
It is, very much so. So they want low sunlight or shade, and they also prefer low acidity, lower acidity than turf grass prefers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you have a patchy piece of yard, moss might grow there very well. So in just transplanting it like that could work, especially if you keep it watered.
Yeah.
You can also try propagating it using a pretty ingenious little method of taking a clump, a whole bunch of moss, throwing it in a blender with some buttermilk, and then taking that mixture with a paintbrush and painting it wherever you want.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah.
Buttermilk, it just must be the wonder thing for moss.
Yeah, it's like
it loves
packed,
stuff.
Packed with nutrients. You also want to take care of your moss.
Sure.
As low maintenance as it seems, like there is some things you have to do, like leaves, twigs, that kind of stuff. Since it's in a shady area, it's usually subject to those things falling on top of it, and that actually will burn it like acid. There won't be a lot of growth in that area of your moss.
Sure.
Because the leaf is preventing it from doing its thing.
Yeah, so you want to clean it off like you would your carpet.
Yes, maybe with a very light broom, very light.
Yeah.
Leaf blower on a low setting.
Which you hate?
Yeah, I just don't like the noise.
Yeah.
But in this case, it makes sense.
Sure.
Unless you have a very light broom. Or you could just pick these things off individually.
That's right. If it's got weeds, you don't want to yank the weeds out,
because
that can yank up moss. You don't want to do that, so you just want to like snip it with scissors. And it's no wonder this is popular in Japan, because they're always more like tender and caring with their gardens. Anyone who has the patience for like bonsai and origami and things like that. We'll snip weeds with scissors.
Yumi and I were in Kyoto and witnessed a man cutting the grass at a park with scissors.
Yeah, my neighbor used to do that in my old house.
Man.
But his lawn looked awesome.
Oh, I'll bet.
Yeah. I don't have time for that. And that's
no
why
one
my yard
does.
Looks like crap.
No one has time for that.
Hey, everybody. It's halftime and the scoreboard is not looking good. You're feeling low and not sure you can pull out a win. And that's when you have to dig deep, lift your head up, and say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists and take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
That's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies.
That's right. You can play on countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. And you can charge other players rent for your iconic properties.
Plus, you can even work with your friends to crack open community chests in tournaments to get rewards and climb the leaderboard.
So get back out there, put on your game face, and download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store or Google Play.
Today's episode is brought to you by Altoids because, let's face it, unraveling the mysteries of the universe is tough work. But with Altoids, your breath will be stronger than a black hole's gravitational pull, more intense than an alien abduction, and more reliable than your phone's battery during a podcast marathon. When it comes to needing intense freshness, Altoids have you covered. Altoids are stronger than your favorite conspiracy theory, more intense than the latest true crime docuseries, and more reliable than a Bigfoot sighting. They're not just mints, they're curiously strong mints. Find Altoids in the checkout aisle. Grab your tin today. Hey, everybody. If you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
So yeah, keep it well fed, as in once a year, aside from the water, you're going to want to, in mid-spring, get out your buttermilk again.
So basically like right now, or like last week.
Yeah, true. Get about a quarter bottle buttermilk, mix it with a couple of gallons of water, and...
spray it.
Yep, spray it all over. And mist your moss. They love mist.
They do.
They drink it up.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah, well, they use a capillary action to drink it up.
That's right.
No roots involved.
Let's say you want to kill moss.
Yeah, I thought that this is very interesting in this article. It's like all pro-moss, and then all of a sudden it takes a really dark turn.
It does.
With the subject heading, how to kill moss.
Well, some people don't want it, you know, like they don't want ivy taking over their yard. They don't want moss taking over their yard.
That's true.
Although they point out in the article, it's not going to take over your lawn because it's not going to grow where your lawn would grow.
Right.
So lighten up. That's what I say.
But if you're one of those people who are prone to slipping
sure.
on things,
oh, yeah.
you may not want that on your sidewalk. You definitely don't want moss on your roof.
No.
That is a sign that you have a big problem if you have moss on your roof.
Unless you are doing that on purpose.
Like a green roof.
Sure.
Well, then you're not going to have the kind of roof that you have to worry about.
Exactly.
If you have a traditional shingled roof and you have moss, you need to do something about it for a couple of reasons. One, it's the presence of moss traps moisture. Moss is designed to do that,
mm-hmm.
If you're into intelligent design theory. And that means that it's going to foster things like fungus that will decay the wood beneath, meaning you'll have a hole in your roof.
Yeah, at some point.
The rhizomes, right?
Rhizoids.
What is wrong with me?
I don't know.
The rhizoids also like to get in between shingles and loosen them.
That's right.
And what else?
Well, I mean, you don't want it on your roof. And so one thing you can do to kill it is use pesticides and chemicals. Not pesticide, I guess it would be a...
herbicide.
They say pesticide in here. That wouldn't be right, though.
No, it's an herbicide.
Yeah.
Like Roundup.
Sure. Which, if you're into spraying that kind of junk on your lawn, feel free. I advise not to.
Yeah.
But that's just how I play in my yard.
What? So you don't use scissors, but you don't use pesticides, huh?
No.
Huh.
You
just kick back and you're like, grow, baby.
No, I take care of things, but I just don't like spraying chemicals all over the yard.
What do you use as herbicides and pesticides?
White vinegar.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like as a spray?
Mm-hmm.
For what does that work for?
Anything.
Like pesticide and herbicide? Or?
Oh, I don't know about pesticide, but herbicide. Like, it'll kill weeds and stuff.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, put it in the Hudson sprayer and...
Gotcha.
Or just live with it.
Yeah, I guess it depends on the weed, for
yeah.
sure.
But if you have animals, you don't want to be spraying your yard with chemicals.
But yeah.
Even though they say, like, once it dries, it's fine. I don't buy that.
I don't buy that either.
Yeah. But if you do want to get rid of it, they say the best way to get rid of it naturally is to, you know, make it a not moss-friendly environment.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, cut back some shade cover.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe make it sunnier. That'll help get rid of the moss.
Yeah. Just make it so it wouldn't want to live there even if it could.
Yeah. Or scrape it off. If it's like on a sidewalk or something.
Yeah, that could like leave really spores, easy. So it may come back. Don't be surprised. But yeah, just a flat shovel or a hoe will take care of moss usually too.
That's right. Oh, it says here zinc.
Yeah, I didn't know about this.
Yeah,
you
zinc
can put
is
a zinc
deterrent.
Strip up on your roof and it'll keep mosses away.
Up on
they
there.
Hate that stuff.
That's right.
And then the last moss fact of the podcast. If you're ever lost in the woods, you need to get your bearings.
Right.
Start looking around and see what side of the trees and, well, pretty much an upright growing tree, what side moss is growing on. And you probably have found something like north.
Yeah.
Because moss is going to grow on the side that gets the least exposure to sunlight, which would be north. So just follow that and you'll end up in
Canada
every time.
That's
even
pretty
if you start out in Australia.
Yeah.
Hey, Australia. All right. Well, that's moss, huh? You got anything else?
No. I'm going to grow a little moss garden in my front yard.
Are you going to?
Yeah. Well, I was going to xeriscape it anyway, so they might as well get some moss going.
I wrote an article on that.
Xeriscaping?
Yeah, but the problem is this isn't xeriscaping because that's dry landscaping. This requires
true.
Water, but it'd still be pretty low maintenance.
Yeah, and my front yard doesn't get very much sun. Like, I failed miserably at trying to grow grass, so
yeah.
I'm just going to, like, mulch and moss and
nice.
Put plants and stuff.
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, one day.
If you want to know more about moss, including seeing some very pretty pictures of moss, and to get to the bottom of the what Chuck and I decided was an inapt analogy between photosynthesis and cookie baking, you can type in moss in the search bar at howstuffworks.com and it'll bring this up and you will be very happy. And you should also be happy because I said search bar, which means it's time for listener mail.
Josh, I'm going to call this the nicest Irishman on earth.
Wow.
This guy was super nice.
Okay.
Josh, Chuck, and Jerry, my name is John Keating, and I'm writing from Dublin, Ireland. I've been a reasonably long-time listener. I started listening to the show over a year ago when I started studying for my leaving cert, the Irish University Entry Exams.
Mm-hmm.
On a number of occasions during my exams, I was able to recall a topic you guys covered during the series, especially in English and history. Due to this, I feel I owe you a great deal of thanks, as I was accepted to the College of the Holy and Undivided Trinity of Queen Elizabeth near Dublin, better known as Trinity College.
Nice.
And it's Go Thunderbolts, in case you're curious.
Nice.
During the year in Trinity, it was announced that a fraternity is to be established within the college. In Ireland, as well as in the UK, society and clubs take up the role of frats that frats have in the U.S. However, one exception is normally these clubs, societies, do not have a particular house associated with them.
Okay.
Like we do here.
Right.
This house concept is something I'll have to deal with in the near future, as I shall be staying in the Beta Theta Pi branch of the University of Toronto while I'm in the city in search of work this summer. On this side of the Atlantic, the frat concept is mainly centered around their depiction in such movies as Animal House,
mm-hmm.
or how the Winklevoss twins were portrayed in The Social Network.
Sure.
Did you see those guys that are in a commercial for, like, pistachios?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Oh, my God. It's awful.
Hey, man. They got to make that dollar some way, huh?
Yeah, the multi-million-dollar payout wasn't enough.
Right.
Yeah.
And they were wealthy already.
Yeah, exactly.
They seem like nice enough guys.
Oh, they seem like great guys. In such, we see them as being an alcohol-fueled rich boys club.
Yes, except for the College of Pharmacy's fraternity.
What are they like?
It's a pill-fueled club.
I know that both of you weren't associated with the frat when you were in college, so maybe I'm right on the button there. Also, I'm curious as to why the idea hasn't successfully been exported to Ireland and the UK and further afield. And what exactly is the association with the Greek alphabet? And why did they develop in the U.S. in the first place? So he wants us to do a podcast on
Friends. Oh, I thought he wanted us to answer now.
No,
like off the top of our heads.
As this email has already exceeded the limit I felt it would, so I shall end it on this note. I just want to further emphasize my gratitude and respect I have for the SYSK team.
That is so nice.
And all the individuals involved in How Stuff Works. Here's hoping for a successful venture on a TV. Best of luck and slan. Must be an Irish thing. S-L-A-N. Never heard of that?
Mm-mm. Is it like an acronym for something? Or
no, it just says best of luck and slan.
Hmm.
So we'll probably hear about that. And that is from John Keating.
Thank you, John. That is very nice of you. That was a very nice email, wasn't it?
Wasn't it?
Do you want to do Fratz?
Yeah, I think we should at some point.
Well, I guess we have to explain everything. If we did Moss, we have to do Fratz, right?
Yeah, sure.
Let's see. What should we call for, Chuck? I don't believe anybody could possibly have a Moss story, which makes me want to hear one.
Well, that means people go, oh boy, you didn't think you'd get a Moss story. Listen to this.
Okay, so we might as well ask for it.
I once laid so still for a year, I had moss growing on my side.
That'd be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
And then there's the Tree Man, who I think some people call the Moss Man.
I don't think I know him.
Oh, you do. There's a video on How Stuff Works of this man who has like some sort of HPV, and like he's growing
like
bark-like skin.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think he's called the Tree Man, though. It's not the Moss Man, is it?
I don't know. It's sad.
So we've already heard about that guy. Don't send us any links to that video. Seen it. But if you do have an interesting Moss story, we want to hear it. Not only that, if it's interesting enough, we'll promote it on the show via listener mail. You can tweet at least the first 140 characters of your Moss story to us at SYSK Podcast. You can post a bunch of it on Facebook at facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. Or you can send us an email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hey everybody, are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain, caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky. The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. But you know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line, thanks to Visible. It's true. So switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com.
Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
In Puerto Rico, there's adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the U.S. Get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico and that remind you why you travel in the first place. Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island, it becomes a part of you. No passports required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.